Defendo Radio is on now.
Well, welcome everybody to another edition of Infendo Radio, Top 25 edition. Joined again by Harrison and Scott. Hello, boys.
How's it going?
Hey, doing pretty well right now. Ready to finally, you know, crush everybody's hearts when it comes to this list right now. So,
yeah.
I mean, obviously, the positive feedback from the last podcast was fantastic, but I believe one commenter mentioned how a bit of an egregious error we did on there on the initial list that we were choosing down. We didn't include Mario 64, but I mean, obviously, I think it makes up for it with Mario Galaxy 2 on there, but yeah, I kind of feel unclean knowing that we didn't include 64 as a talking point.
Well, like we had all said, I mean, this is kind of our list of games, so I mean, it's not going to have everything from everybody. So I mean, the list that we have, I think, is a pretty darn good list. So kind of hits every bit of Nintendo from Mario to Pokemon. So I think we've got a good thing going, you know.
I would say, yeah. I mean, hey. We kept a link to the past on there for a reason now, okay? I mean, I sacrificed two of my favorite Zelda tiles on there to make sure I didn't get any hate mail from any of you guys. There was no way I was going to deal with that.
Right. Well, I mean, without further ado, I guess we should probably get started because we don't want another 3-hour podcast. Or maybe we do. Who knows? But, well, let's depending on how long it takes us to reorder this list. So, I mean, how we're going to do it is we're just going to start from 25 down and then just kind of say, this one beats this one and debate. Go. Ready. So I mean
– Wait, you mean we're not going to have a 3-hour podcast where we're just going to discuss why Advanced Wars is not the best game of all time?
Yeah, right.
Well, I guess that tells us that Advanced Wars is not going to be number one, so...
Yeah, well...
Wow. Wise move there, Scott. I see where you're going with this.
Well,
right.
I go for the obvious to begin with.
Good stuff. Well, so what do you guys think? I mean, obviously, I think there's a couple of games that obviously don't belong anywhere lower than 10. So,
right. You
know, I mean, we can probably leave Ocarina of Time and Super Metroid and Link to the Past. Those ones we don't have to worry about for a while. I'm sure those will be in the top. But what do you guys think belongs kind of closer to the bottom? I've been thinking about this, and I have a couple of probably 5 that I think shouldn't be anywhere near top 10. Do you guys?
I do as well. I think right now, I mean, looking through the list, you know, we've had the week to kind of go through this time just to figure out, you know, what works and what doesn't work on the list. And, you know, a couple titles on here basically, you know, like last podcast, we had a difficult time as far as the games that we basically, you know, killed off our original list that were just bordering on that, you know, that 25 just basically, you know, missing the cut, you know, just by a smidge of a hair. And in this one right now, it's just like you're in the grand finale of this list right now. It's just a matter of like it's like a beauty pageant right now. You're not doing well on the question portion of the entire the contest. So I mean, if I to start out right now, obviously, since we already made a joke about it, I would be willing to put, you know, Advanced Wars at the 25 spot.
I would agree that it's not in the top 10, but I still think there are a couple of games that belong a little lower than that. I mean, for one, I would probably say Mega Man X or Clash at Demon Head would be a little bit lower on the list than Advance Wars to me.
I would agree. I would actually probably put even Street Fighter 2 kind of not in the top 10 also.
Yeah, I think Advance Wars is even higher than that one to me as well. I mean, I really enjoyed Advance Wars a lot.
I would say even that one, even though I kind of found the sequels to, well, I think it was even after 2, what was it like, you know, Black Hole Rising, I mean, one that upped the ante a little bit in the series a little bit more. But with Advance Wars, it was that kind of a title, whatever, I mean, first in the GBA's life cycle that kind of caught my eye just based on its simple title, and I even thought it was just a throwaway game. Just it was the ultimate game not to judge basically based on its cover. I mean, it sounded stupid, but, you know, it was a type of game that was easy to learn but tricky to master.
Right.
Right. Yep.
So what do we think? Do we want to put lower than Advance Wars, maybe Clash at Demon Head and Mega Man X. Does that sound about reasonable?
I'm a little biased on this one, considering I never played Clash at Demon Head, and I know everybody on this listening to this podcast is just going to keep, you know, retweeting me back right now to figure out, like, why haven't you played this? I'm like, I just haven't. So we could just start that.
Okay, so let's put that a little lower for now. Is there anything that we want to put lower than Clash of Demon Head? I would maybe put Mega Man X lower than this one, but I don't know about your guys' thoughts on the Mega Man series there.
I'd be willing to put it there, even though Mega Man's been such a big staple of the part of Nintendo consoles. And like in the last podcast, I, you know, adored the game for, you know, changing up the Mega Man formula, even though it kind of stained to it. But as far as it being, you know, a great game as, you know, something that you can just pick up and play, you know, over and over again, I mean, its replayability is, you know, up there with like all these games on this list that you can think of. But just with this one, I think right now, as far as relevancy, we can put the number of that at number 25.
Okay, so then we have 25 Mega Man X, 24 Clash of Demon Head. Okay, so now where do we go from here? There's a couple of games that stand out for me, but I'm not sure if they're all going to be relevant to everybody else. I mean, I don't know if I'd have Illusion of Gaia and Golden Sun so far up the list, but I'm not exactly where they stand. For Golden Sun, I don't think that cracks the top 20.
I would agree. I'm not sure what would be below Golden Sun, exactly, but I think in the 21 through 25 mark, that's definitely, or 21 to 23 mark is where Golden Sun should probably land.
Okay, so we're gonna jump Golden Sun down to the right after Clash of Demon Head. I mean, is there anything that we want to do lower than Golden Sun? Because do we have any thoughts on Golden Sun? I thought it was a great RPG for the GBA, but it wasn't. It might not have been so memorable for everybody who played it. There was a couple of flaws with it.
I mean, for something that I haven't played in quite some time, but you know, it left another good impression on me because, you know, Camelot was able to actually, you know, put up a really decent, like, you know, during the time when, you know, the GBA, which was a decent, like, you know, handheld platform for RPGs, both, you know, original and ports, for instance, and Golden Sun, I mean, it introduced, you know, I believe, you know, a new Nintendo franchise that, you know, I feel like that needs more, you know, like, spotlight these days, and I feel like, you know, it's one of those games that I would just adore to have a, you know, a console version if some time right now. I mean, given the scope of Camelot's development, I'm not sure if they can actually, you know, make that as big as a scope, like, big as a game to be onto consoles right now. I mean, but since we're talking about the original game, it's up there as, like, you know, between that and Advance Wars, you know, as, you know, which of these are these top Game Boy Advance games you actually play.
Right, and those two, I mean, I kind of think of those in the same breath, too, because they kind of came out at the same time of the Game Boy Advance's lifespan, and they both did different things. I owned both, and they were, they were great boons to the library. I mean, some great games to have, you know. But
I'd be willing to say right now, I mean, you could put Golden Sun, I mean, it's... I mean, right now, oh, it's really interesting where we're going to put this right now. I mean, to me, Scott, would you say, out of the two Game Boy Advance games, between Advance Wars or Golden Sun, you know, which one is higher on your list?
It's a tough one. I mean, I think they're both fairly, well, you know, they're both fairly equal. That's really a tough one. I might put Golden Sun slightly ahead of it, but it's not much.
For me, I got more enjoyment out of Golden Sun. I mean, both games, don't get me wrong, both games are great, but I can't, Advance Wars was just, it kind of got repetitive to me. I ended up turning off some of the battle animations after a while. I don't know, but it's really, really close.
Ooh, I mean... I'd be willing to put maybe, you know, Advance Wars in that 22 or 23 spot, and then Golden Sun. I mean, coming to this list, you know, given that like the system right now we're having right now, I put Advance Wars as my dark horse as far as not to be a top game, but also as one to kind of surprise us on a list of how high it's going to go. But Golden Sun, though, I mean, looking at it right now, I mean, even just like kind of I was thinking about the last couple days, and I mean, yeah, I mean, you said it came out during the first portion of like the GBA's life cycle, and you know, I think it, I wouldn't say it was responsible, but you know, it was again one of those first original RPGs that, you know, that would came out that kind of showed that, you know, even for this platform that they had at the time right now, it can actually, you know, it just showed that the RPG franchise, whatever, well, even West, like, you know, Japanese RPGs could actually, you know, still have more relevancy.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah, I think you're right. I think we probably move Advance Wars to the 23 and Golden Sun to the 22. I mean, are we in agreements there?
I'd be willing to put people. Yeah. All right. I can go for that.
Okay. So let's do that there. So now that we've done that, what do we put right above Golden Sun? Because we have, I'm not sure that there's a title that really jumps out as something that should move down.
This is where things get interesting now.
Yeah.
It's like numbers 20 through 25 are the ones that we argued constantly for about a good 30 or 40 minutes of like, you know, what should we keep? What should we keep?
Right.
It's stuff to be above right now. I mean, we have a bit of a logjam of even like, you know, Super Nintendo and Game Boy Advance RPGs on there, and it's a matter of which one's the best on there. And those three I'm talking about, I mean, not to say we were going to put these on here, I mean, the three we had left are, you know, Chrono Trigger, Final Fantasy 3/6, the original Final Fantasy, and Secret of Mana. It's a matter of what you can put on there. I'm still in agreement right now that, you know, Final Fantasy 6, 3, well, 3 is the superior Final Fantasy out there, even something that I find a lot better than 7, 8, 9,
yeah, that's my. I think that's my favorite Final Fantasy game. Actually, I think that's the best. I just think it was the best game, pure Final Fantasy game. Even before, after it went 3D, like you said, 7. So I kind of want to keep that a little higher on the list. I think, for me, that either Illusion of Gaia probably doesn't quite crack that RPG list as high as like a Final Fantasy 3 even, the original Final Fantasy. I think that one needs to move down a bit, but I'm not sure y'all's thoughts.
Yeah, I think I know I can agree with you in Secret of Mana, but between Secret of Mana and like Final Fantasy 3, one thing that you can actually, you know, battle out, whatever, as far as a big discussion point is, like, you know, which one has the best music? I mean, Secret of Mana was known for its great soundtrack, and but then again, the ending with 3 is just, you know, phenomenal with this, you know, its opera scene.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. You know, I think that 3 does outweigh Secret of Mana, you know, even just by a little bit. But, you know, Final Fantasy 3, it's not my all-time favorite Final Fantasy game, but from the Nintendo era, I think it's... it's tied so far with 4 for me. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're both just great games, but I've just finished replaying both of those recently. So that's I think that should be up there. I mean, what about Eternal Darkness, Sanity's Requiem, though? That's a game I never really played a whole lot. I mean, I think I might have, you know, turned it on and maybe just started it at one point, but so I don't have a lot of feedback on that one, but what are your thoughts?
I think that game was great. It did a lot of great things, like, but it didn't do them. It didn't do them specifically. I can't articulate what I mean here, but I mean, it did a lot of cool things. But I'm not sure that it did enough of them to keep a gamer occupied for the entire 3 playthroughs that it was required to get like the best ending or whatever. Because you actually had to play the game 3 times through all 3 different magic categories or whatever. But at the same time, it did a lot of really cool things with that insanity meter. So. I'm not quite so sure about that. I think that was one of your games, Harrison. What are your thoughts on this one?
I'm one to actually, you know, put this a little bit higher just because it was, you know, for a game that was kind of marred by, you know, a bit of a kind of a lengthy development cycle. But, you know, it was at the time, whatever, maybe like respective company is Silicon Knights. Obviously, that's changed over the last couple years, you know, with the company, you know, with their lawsuit with, like, you know, the Unreal, what was it, like, with
Unreal Without Two Human.
Yeah, and which, by the way, I should have picked up Two Human, whatever. I know it didn't get, I mean, for another game that has been marred by, like, I believe that went through, like, three different console generations before it was finally released on the 360. Because I remember that thing was like, I remember in GamePro when I was a little kid, they showed that off in a...
as like a Nintendo 64 game, was it a GameCube game that it was?
No, it was originally planned as a PlayStation title at one point. And this was the shocking thing, whatever, because of all the, I think, what was it, for all the different, like, you know, cutscenes and audio that was into it, apparently that at that time was going to span around like 4 or 5 discs. I mean, which was almost seems like unprecedented at that time. But it came out, but it just didn't really, I mean, it obviously didn't live up to much expectations. And I think that's when I lost a little bit of faith in that company, whatever, afterwards. I mean, just, and plus, even after they stopped developing with Nintendo, I really didn't bat an eye as far as when it came to it. But not to say this should be against me for Eternal Darkness.
Yeah,
but,
I remember Dennis Dyack talking a lot about Eternal Darkness before it came out, pre-release, like in EGM and all the big magazines back then. And I was really hyped for the game, and I think it hit on a lot of those points, even though that it was billed as the Resident Evil or whatever of the GameCube launch. But I think that it did a lot of good things. But I'm not sure how high we put this on the list.
I think it cracks easily the top 20. I mean, maybe in around a 19 or 18 spot, because at this point I'm trying to figure out, you know, what is above that right now. I mean, yeah, I personally think
What games are lower than Eternal Darkness in your opinion?
I'm willing to put, you know, Donkey Kong Country Returns on there. I mean, that was one that I wanted this on the top, on our top 25 list originally, and I'm glad that it made it on there. And it showed basically, you know, that how retro could actually, you know, spread its wings a little bit as far as, you know, what they can develop and what franchises they could handle and still, you know, get that magic they had from, like, developing the Prime titles.
Yeah, but I was somewhat eyeing that game as well, actually. I was so do we want to put that above Golden Sun?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Donkey Kong Country Returns moves to 21 for right now. But are there any games that we want to put below Donkey Kong Country Returns on the list right now? Do you see any games that are not quite as good or anything that catches your eye? I'm not sure there are any for me. Maybe Street Fighter 2?
I was just looking at that one. I know we had that highlighted last time, kind of going back and forth. I would see Donkey Kong at 21 and maybe Street Fighter 2 at 20.
Okay.
Yeah, because on this list, it's not the best fighter. I mean, I'm obviously going this one. Super Smash Bros. Melee was going to be, you know, the best fighter on this list. I had already dead set that until we finally went down to 25. I mean, okay. I know a lot of my hardcore, like, my hardcore fighting fans who prefer, you know, arcade sticks as opposed to, you know, a party-style fighting game, whatever, you know, fighting game, whatever. But this one, I mean, Melee just had, you know, a multitude of different extras and such on there that really pushed it beyond there. I mean, I remember when I played Melee, whatever, I wanted to unlock everything besides the characters. I mean, and plus, the introduction of the trophy system on there was amazing. Not amazing, but it was just, it gave you that more incentive to unlock every little nook and cranny, do all these different challenges.
Oh, yeah,
stuff.
I remember spending hours on the little slot machine on Melee where you collect all the coins for doing random things in the game. I don't think I ever legitimately got all the trophies. I hacked my memory card and got them all because I wanted to see everything, but yeah.
Yeah, I think the hardest one to get was a pixel version of the sheriff from Wild Gun. I think it was like Wild... Wild Gunman, I believe.
Yeah, Wild Gunman is the arcade game. Yeah.
Which, by the way, if you don't know about that game, whatever, I mean, for those who are unfamiliar, whatever, just go back and watch Back to the Future 2.
That's right.
When Marty's just shooting the whatever. He's like, hey, kids, watch this. He's like, and of course, a young Elijah Wood says, you mean you have to use your hands? It's a baby's toy.
And then here we are today with Kinect.
Yeah. Wow. Exactly. Who knows? Like, wow, Elijah Wood, you're very good at predicting the future. Who knew that?
Yeah. I'm still waiting for my hoverboard.
Yeah, that's right.
You have 2 more years, scientists. 2 more years to get your to actually realize this dream.
But we have those the Nike Back to the Future shoes. They made a limited
edition
of those or something like that, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. They were pretty pricey though. I don't think I'd ever waste the money on them.
Yeah, right. Well, all right. Well, back to our list then.
Okay.
Is there anything Street Fighter, anything that we want to put lower than Street Fighter 2? Because right now we have Street Fighter 2 at 20. I'm not sure there's anything that jumps out to me, but.
No.
I and nothing right now, and this is where we're just going to be at each other's throats,
yeah,
right?
That's right.
I'm trying to decide this. I mean, but and I think I can hear Scott's cat in the background. I think he's disagreeing.
The
with
cat's
this.
Yeah, agree with this.
She will just not leave me alone. She actually just tangled her leg in my my headset cord and pulled them off my head. So I don't know what's going on.
She heard that probably Clash of Demonhead was the bottom, but I was like, no, yeah, no.
She's a fan.
All right, so I don't think there's anything that we have lower than Street Fighter 2. But now this is where it gets tricky. I mean, what do we have lower on the
list? We can go in saying, like, okay, what is obviously in this top 10? I mean, we know Super Metroid, A Link to the Past, I believe Ocarina of Time, and even Prime are in our top 10 on this list.
Yeah, I think that's even that all of four of those games may even be in the top 5. But I'm not 100% yet, but I mean those are some of my games that I was eyeballing for some of the top games. So, I don't think
I'm eyeballing the many RPGs we have on there, and I think it's time to actually put, I mean, do you think, I mean, I know this is one of your favorite games of all time. Do you think between Illusion of Gaia and Secret of Mana, which one is better in terms of whatever? I mean, for someone who hasn't played all the way through of Illusion of Gaia all the way for a long time, but, you know, again, left a good impression on me when I first played it, but...
I mean, objectively, I don't think Illusion of Gaia is the best RPG on this list.
No.
But it's definitely my favorite, but I don't think I can put it... And I couldn't put it higher than Final Fantasy III. I couldn't put it higher than Secret of Mana. I'm not sure about the original Final Fantasy. I might be fighting with it there, but I don't think that it belongs too high on this list. It's just my personal favorite game, you know.
I'd be willing to put that in the 19 spot right now.
Yeah.
Then.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I'd go with that one.
Yeah, now, is there anything that you all are eyeballing that's lower than this one? I mean, if Illusion of Gaia is at the 19, I'm not sure that Final Fantasy can go much higher than that, because I think they're pretty close to me.
I would agree. If we put Illusion Gaia at 19, Final Fantasy 1 should be at least 18.
Yeah.
For now, at least.
Okay, so let's do that. Now, how do we feel... Oh, sorry. Wrong button there. So how do we feel about the placement of the rest of these titles here? What do we want to do? Is there anything that you see higher or lower than Final Fantasy?
We do have a lot of Zelda titles. I think that's one. And that was one thing a commenter mentioned on us, saying, like, you know, you forget Mario 64 on this top 25 list in favor of Mario Galaxy 2, but you have, like, four Zelda titles on here. I'm like, I feel like as far as the Zelda titles out there, they're the ones that actually, you know, I mean, not to say that the Mario series has evolved, whatever, in its 3D iterations, but, you know, Zelda has actually evolved, I mean, for each one when it comes to a different story or to a different version, even though they could be somewhat similar. And
right.
Well, you know, for me, though, I mean, personally, since this is our list, I think that the Zelda games, that's definitely my favorite franchise from Nintendo. I mean, I like Mario, but not as much as the Zelda games. So I'm not sure how you all feel about, like, Super Mario Brothers 3 and Super Mario Galaxy 2, but I think... One of them makes the top 10, but I'm not sure both do. What are your thoughts on these?
In my opinion, if one makes it, one doesn't. I think Mario Brothers 3 makes it.
Yeah.
Because it was such a... I mean, they were both big changes to the series. Although, I mean, Super Mario Galaxy 2... I don't know. In my eyes, Super Mario Brothers 3 is actually the one game that really changed the Mario Galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
As a whole, and really kind of took it into the next step forward. So I would say Galaxy 2 is probably in the
15 range.
15, yes, 15 to 18, or 15 to 17, somewhere in there. At the very least, 15.
Okay, well, I see worse than Galaxy 2, not worse, but I think games that belong lower than Galaxy 2 to me are probably GoldenEye 007. And, well, that's actually hard. I'm not sure. GoldenEye was pretty great for its time.
I'll say GoldenEye is one that cracks the top 10 for me. I mean, maybe at that 10 spot. But
See, yeah, I mean, GoldenEye for me is not top 10, but I mean, we can definitely argue that one out.
So, okay, how do we feel about moving Majora's Mask just below Final Fantasy, the original Final Fantasy there? Because, I know I have strong feelings about Majora's Mask, but it wasn't as universally loved as most of Zelda titles.
Critically, it was. It just, far as, like, when it came to, you know, compared to, like, Ocarina of Time, it's, you know, Majora's Mask is still my favorite Zelda title out there. It just, I think Wind Waker kind of changed that, whatever, for its controversy when it came out. I mean, when I play Wind Waker a little bit more, I mean, I appreciate it a lot more. And, you know, with the HD reimagining coming in, I feel like that's going to make me, you know, go back and just enjoy for what it was, the title. And, you know, I mean, hopefully in that transition, that it doesn't lose its art style so much just to an HD transition. But, yeah, Majora's Mask at, say, 17, I could deal with.
Okay. Majora's Mask, let's move that there. Now, is there anything that we think lower than Majora's Mask? The only thing that's popping out to me is perhaps Earthbound, but, I mean, Earthbound was also a great title, but I'm not sure it belongs so high up on the list.
It was a quirky title, but I could actually see that on there. I mean, I'm not as the biggest fan. I mean, I love the Earthbound title, even though it's a series that really just needs to be more appreciated here in the States, even though we've only had one version of the game here, whereas Japan has been getting every single version out there. But, I mean, as far as its look on there, I would put that on our, you know, 15 list.
Yeah, so cracks the top 15. So then what do we put lower than Majora's Mask now? Majora's Mask at 17. So what hits that 16 spot?
Secret of Mana.
You think Secret of
Mana?
You
think so? I'm actually leaning more towards Resident Evil 4.
I really want Resident Evil 4 in that top 10 spot so bad.
Well, I see a couple of games that I think are lower than Secret of Mana. I mean, one that jumps out to me is, well, maybe it doesn't jump out, but yeah, on my list, I think that I would put Secret of Mana higher than GoldenEye. But
how about we put Pokemon Red, Blue, and to an extension Yellow on? Like, yeah, I feel like, you know, Yellow should be included on as that forefront, because, you know, they're still similar, you know, essentially the same game just with different features. But I put that even just slightly below Majora's Mask.
I don't know about that. I have strong feelings about the original Pokemon. I'm okay with putting it perhaps at the 16 or at the 16 spot, yeah. But I don't think lower than Majora's Mask.
No, I think if we put it lower than Majora's Mask, I mean we're gonna be chased by the crowd of the angry mob in Frankenstein. So it's a tough call.
So you guys have the vote on this one. I think I am like outnumbered at this point.
I'm okay with putting it out of the top 15, but I don't think it goes lower than Majora's Mask, in my opinion.
No. I'm still leaning more towards GoldenEye in this area.
I don't know. I mean, GoldenEye was great for its time. It I'm not sure that it holds up so well going back and playing it. I mean, I've gone back and played it. You can do a lot of the speedrun stuff just fine, but I don't know. This one's tough.
Or what about Mario Galaxy 2? I mean, what are the thoughts on that one? I mean, it's a great game, but
it cracks the top 15. That's what I have on there. And just, this one's bad. Tough again. We could put GoldenEye 007 in that spot that we're trying to, you know, fill.
At the 16? Well, for me, I think that GoldenEye trumps Resident Evil 4.
Oh, yeah, I would say so, yeah. So maybe Resident Evil 16, GoldenEye 15?
I
feel like one of those shouldn't be. I feel like those shouldn't be too close to each other. I feel like one should be up there. I'd be willing to do this. I'd put Wind Waker and Majora's Mask close to each other. I mean, for games that were kind of marred, I wouldn't say not marred by controversy, but they were as good as titles, 3D Zelda titles they were, they didn't have that point or whatever that they were a spiritual successor to, like, Ocarina of Time. I mean, as far as length. So I'd be willing to put, you know, Majora's Mask, well, Wind Waker and Majora's Mask in 16, 17, respectively.
Okay, so just like it is there. So then what's our 15 title? I mean, are you in agreement there, Scott? I mean, do you...
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's okay.
Okay, so what goes at 15 now? What cracks that top 15 list? I'm still eyeballing GoldenEye and Resident Evil 4. I mean, GoldenEye, I know you have strong feelings about this one, Harrison, but I'm not sure it cracks a top 10.
What, Mario Galaxy 2, you're saying? Or
GoldenEye.
Yeah, I mean, I'm actually eyeing Earthbound to actually put in 15.
I can get behind that. I think that it did a lot right, but
because we're saying right now Earthbound is better than Illusion of Gaia and the original Final Fantasy. So I mean, I think that's a good enough honor itself. I mean, you beat out two decent, like really good Zelda titles. I mean, I think that's a good enough, you know, brownie points there to show, like, for a series that hasn't gotten that much more respect, whatever, as far as, you know, financial sales here in the States.
Okay, so let's move this here for now. Now, is there anything that we see lower than Earthbound right now on the list? I mean, there's nothing that jumps out at me. Not really. If we put Earthbound there, though, I think... Yeah, I think Earthbound belongs there, and that because it definitely is not a better game than Chrono Trigger, in my opinion, or Final Fantasy III.
No.
This is the spot I'm willing to put Eternal Darkness: Sanity's Requiem at 14.
Okay, yeah, I think it definitely does crack the top 15, but it's not better than Final Fantasy III. No, I don't think it's better than Chrono Trigger. I don't know though. I think I'm still looking at GoldenEye, still looking at Resident Evil 4. Do you think that either of those are worse than Eternal Darkness?
I find Resident Evil 4 is a superior game to Eternal Darkness, because of what 4 did to, you know, the series and the genre itself.
Yeah, the third person shoot, third person over this.
Yeah, there were so many different, you know, third person perspective games that have just, you know, have been influenced heavily from, you know, just by the way of, like, the perspective and just the way Resident Evil 4 controls. I mean, you wouldn't have, like, the Uncharted or the Infamouses or any of those other, like, you know, these new Sony franchise IPs, whatever, that kind of easily, you know, borrow heavily influence from Resident Evil 4's perspective. I mean, they had to thank that for it. I mean, granted, the rest of the Resident Evil titles have not as been good since then, but 4, you know, still leaves a good lasting impression for what it did in the industry.
And I think you can make the same argument for what GoldenEye did for first-person shooters on consoles. I mean, that had never really been done before. And with what Rare was able to do with the genre on a console without even dual analog sticks was amazing, quite frankly.
It's just a matter of, like, what was more influential? Was GoldenEye more influential probably for, you know, it made, you know, first-person shooters and competitive first-person shooters work on consoles, and like you said, even without a dual analog, or Resident Evil 4 for what it did for, I'm not saying for, you know, survival horror, because looking back at Resident Evil 4, it wasn't really like a survival horror game anymore. Right. I mean, there were a few moments that scared me, like, you know, jumped out and scared me, like, you know, jump scares, but to me, it was more of an action title. That's what it really was. I mean, like, Resident Evil 1, 2, and 3, those were survival horrors, the titles. This one, it bordered on that line of between action and survival horror.
Yeah, sales-wise, GoldenEye 007, I'm almost positive, has outsold Resident Evil 4. Well, maybe not with the multiple SKUs now that I think about it. It's been on the Wii, it's been on the PlayStation 2, it's been on everything, Xbox 360, so. But, I mean, for a single SKU, like maybe GoldenEye or GameCube versus N64, I think that GoldenEye probably did more sales-wise, and I think it honestly did more for the genre than what Resident Evil 4 did for the third-person over-the-shoulder genre. I mean, I guess you wouldn't have seen a Gears of War without a Resident Evil 4, perhaps, but this is a tough one.
I think that they should be next to each other in this list, but which one trumps the other. That's what's tough here for me.
Yeah, I think I would put GoldenEye for me higher on the list than Resident Evil.
I'd agree, because I think this I think for something that did for one genre that led to, which today right now, is the best-selling genre, most marketable genre pretty much out today.
Mm-hmm.
And, even one that I kind of resent at times better because of how, we've discussed in previous podcasts, a genre we could do without. And I mentioned, I just said one that could be toned down was first-person shooters because I felt like the market for that was, oversaturated. Mm-hmm. And I think GoldenEye 007 was that one that actually just showed, hey, it proved that things could actually work on here. But, I think for the sake of this list, I'm just trying to make sure that there are at least third-party titles that crack our top 10. That's one thing I want it to be. When discussing this list, I want to make sure, yes, it's just Nintendo games we're discussing, but I wanted to make sure, there were those third-party titles, either be it, multi-platform or exclusive, that still left a great mark on it as far as, when you picked up a different, whatever Nintendo console you owned.
Yeah, you know what? And I think we have a couple of those that probably are looking like they're going to make that top 10. Because, when I look at Chrono Trigger and possibly Secret of Mana, I think that they trump at least maybe three games that we still have remaining on the list.
Yeah.
To me. But, so, I think that right now, Resident Evil 4... probably 13, GoldenEye 12, and then I'm looking at, if we're in agreement there, then I think we have to look at maybe Mario Galaxy 2. But do we want to do Resident Evil 4, 13, and GoldenEye 12?
I think so. In my eyes, yeah, because for me, Resident Evil 4, that kind of. It came out at a time where if they didn't perfect that third person shooter or introduce it to be more mainstream, I think it still would have came. But back with GoldenEye, that was something that was a lot newer at the time. You had definitely some other like Doom and so on that were out there at the time.
Half-Life,
yeah, and they were great games on a PC, but you didn't really see them on a console as much, and GoldenEye brought that forward. So I think it was more for paving the way, for that genre than anything.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. I totally agree. It's one, again, a very influential title, whatever. And even to this day, I wish for first person shooters these days that could have an equally satisfying campaign. That's replay, you replay it over and over again, and it's not marred by being so short and over, and not overshadowed by its multiplayer. Whereas in GoldenEye, it was more kind of a shared experience, your multiplayer and your single player were both so enjoyable to the point where, you were, like you said, the speed runs, for instance, through each of the levels, and even getting groups of friends for multiplayer, both those were, things that are sorely missing from first-person shooters these days.
Anytime I play a GoldenEye game, a Call of Duty game, I miss having that objective-based gameplay that GoldenEye brought. You're not just trying to kill everybody to get from point A to point B. You're doing things within the environments, getting, even if it's so simple as taking a disc from point A to point B to unlock a computer or something. I thought that was great from GoldenEye. And then, the cheat codes that were there, that was cool stuff. So I think that GoldenEye definitely is above Resident Evil 4 in my eyes.
Yeah. Yeah. So definitely.
So let's put that GoldenEye right below Resident Evil 4 for now. But now, is there any game that we think is lower than GoldenEye? I'm not sure that anything hits me right off the top of my head. Maybe some of the RPGs we have on the list, or
it's getting a lot tougher now.
I don't know that if I don't I'm not sure that I put a Chrono Trigger or a Secret of Mana or even a Pokemon lower than GoldenEye. I'd be willing to say that Pokemon is right below GoldenEye, right at the 11th spot.
I could see that, I could do that as far as, obviously it was going to be hard to have any portable games on here that are going to crack our top 10 right now. Mm-hmm. I was saving that for Advance Wars, but, looking more into it, Golden Sun was more of a superior title, and probably the one that got the most bang for my buck.
Mm-hmm. So are we putting Pokemon here? Now, is there anything that we see that catches our eye that goes lower than the Pokemon? I mean, right now we have that at the 12th spot.
Secret of Mana.
You think?
Or no, yeah, Secret of Mana.
You think lower than Pokemon?
It's just lower, yeah. I mean, because this top 10, I mean, going in, obviously, you know, Final Fantasy III and Chrono Trigger were, you know, it is a matter of which one is going to be the better one that's going to be battling up in our top 10. And I think Secret of Mana, between those three great RPGs that the Super Nintendo had, it was a matter of which one was going to get the small boot, whatever, out into the top 10.
Yeah, I think that definitely Final Fantasy III and Chrono Trigger are probably better games than Secret of Mana. What are your thoughts, Scott?
I think so. I mean, Secret of Mana was one of my favorite games, you know, back when it came out. But it's between the three of those, if I had to rank them 1, 2, 3, it'd be the Final Fantasy would be number one, Chrono Trigger would be number two, and Secret of Mana would be probably third on the list. So I'm fine placing that right there, apart from the other two.
Okay, so now do we want to move Secret of Mana below Pokemon? Because I actually kind of think that Pokemon has done more for the RPG genre than Secret of Mana has. I mean, what are your all thoughts on this?
My thoughts are, I think Pokemon should be higher on the list. Let's see, that would move Pokemon to the number
11 there.
11 spot. I think that's good. I mean, one thing about the Pokemon series is that From Pokemon Red, Blue, and Yellow, I mean, it's stayed true to its form, you know, through how many different incarnations, and it's hasn't changed a whole lot until, you know, now.
Right, almost to a fault.
Exactly. So it's got to be there. I mean, it's such a great form that, you know,
I'd sandwich Secret of Mana in between. I mean, just a little change in here. I'd sandwich Secret of Mana in between, you know, GoldenEye and Resident Evil 4. I mean, I feel like those two games are a little too close as far as to each other. I mean, but then again, we went through like the last 5-10 minutes discussing, you know, which one was more influential for its respective genres and, you know, for respective gameplay types. It just, I don't know, I'm just seeing that spot between, you know, 13, 15, you know, you have all these, you know, mature-based games, you know, 007, Resident Evil 4, and Eternal Darkness. It just, I think it's a matter of, like, just trying to, you know, get a little parity, whatever, in between, you know, the what's coming up in the list.
Yeah, I may be able to get behind that, putting GoldenEye at that 12, although Secret of Mana, I think I can get behind that. I think that I can maybe see GoldenEye higher on the list than Secret of Mana, but I mean, what are your thoughts there, Scott? I mean, GoldenEye did a lot, but I'm not sure it was a better game than Secret of Mana. I don't know. This one's a tough one for me.
That is tough. I mean, I would say Secret of Mana is probably a better game, at least in my eyes, but you're right. I mean, GoldenEye did a lot more for first-person shooters than Secret of Mana did for RPGs. Just going on that, I could see putting GoldenEye or Secret of Mana between GoldenEye and Resident Evil, just because GoldenEye did more for the genre. It's tough because I really like Secret of Mana a lot more than GoldenEye.
Yeah, I think if we're going to be judging by objectively without our personal bias, then I think we probably do have to put GoldenEye higher than Secret of Mana, just because, like you said, that it did a lot for the first-person shooter genre. But, I mean, do we want to do that? Do we want to put...
Yeah, I'm putting, you know, GoldenEye in that 12 spot is something I'd be getting well behind on there. I mean, who knows? When going through more, because we're about 10 or 11, whatever, we're about one way from, you know, deciding our top 10. And just, who knows? GoldenEye, probably a little more discussion. We could maybe be moving this game up a little bit more.
Okay, so let's think about that there. Okay, so that's that right now. Well, let's read through our list from 25 down. How do I have 26 there? Oh, there we go. So I have a spot there. All right, so
It's like, Eugene, you're adding games to this list.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
He's okay. Trying to get that Mario 64 back in
yeah,
there.
Yeah, that's right, without anybody knowing about it. So right now we have...
And we didn't forget about it. It's there.
I don't know what you guys are talking about, readers. So right now, going backwards, at 25, we have Mega Man X, Clash of Demon Head at 24, Advance Wars at 23, Golden Sun at 22, Donkey Kong Country Returns 21, Street Fighter 2 20, Illusion of Gaia 19, Final Fantasy NES 18, Majora's Mask 17, Wind Waker 16, Earthbound 15, Eternal Darkness 14, Resident Evil 4 13, Secret of Mana 12, GoldenEye 11, Pokemon 10. Does Pokemon crack the top 10? I mean, do we want to put the GoldenEye top 10? I mean, I think Pokemon's better game than GoldenEye personally.
I think so. I mean, if you look at it, GoldenEye did a lot for the first person shooter genre, but Pokemon has stood the test of time overall. So I think just that alone, it's definitely top 10.
I agree. I think it definitely needs to make top 10. I think GoldenEye at 11 is kind of right in the right area there. I mean, it did so much for the genre, but there's just so many better games ahead of it on this list, in my opinion. What do you think, Harrison?
I'd agree. I mean, Pokemon, I mean, both GoldenEye and Pokemon Red, Blue, and Yellow did stand the test of time. It just, you know, it's a matter of, like, what you think was more... You know, like you said, did have that lasting impression. I mean, both did, but which one had it more right now? I mean, at this time, we haven't had that, you know, exclusive kind of like, you know, really like a first-person shooter on a Nintendo console for a while where it kind of just stood out and, you know, that was what everybody flocked to a console just for first-person shooters. I mean, for a while, that's what, you know, for when the 64 out, that was actually, you know, two place for, you know, first-person shooters. But with Pokemon Red and Blue and Yellow, it created a huge, a great phenomenon. I mean, yes. a phenomenon to this day is still going strong. I mean, obviously, it's not, you know, it's still selling gangbusters, but not to the, I can't think of a term that's higher than gangbusters right now. But yeah. It was during the time when it was like, yeah, late 90s, early 2000s, because, boy, I mean, as a kid, when I played those, I said to myself, I haven't seen, you know, a series like this that just, you know, was just everybody you knew played it. Even it didn't matter you were a girl, a guy, you know.
Yeah, and those three games, Red, Blue, Yellow, brought so much. I mean, there were Pokemon cards, there was anime, and everybody did everything with those. I mean, I still have my collection of Pokemon cards. I still have my couple VHS tapes of the anime that I ended up squandering. So, I mean, I think that Pokemon is even higher than those two other RPGs we have on the list personally, but I'm not sure your all's thought on that. I mean, I think that what Red and Blue did for RPGs, I think that was a gateway drug into RPGs for a lot of kids back in the day.
I think so too. I think it really got, I mean, it was a simplified kind of RPG, and, you know, granted today, yeah, we're still waiting for the series to kind of make the next step. And as far as evolution, I mean, it's following that same kind of path as certain Nintendo franchises were, you know, it's, what to say, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Right.
I mean, for as many times where we can just cry out for a Pokemon MMORPG, I mean, we still have this. I mean, hopefully, you know, with X and Y that comes out, but, you know, with this, you know, it was the beginning of such a great phenomenon that, you know, even kind of got me back into simplified RPGs like that. I mean, grant, you know, even though the Final Fantasy III and Chrono Trigger and Secret of Mana were games that, you know, I adored as a kid, it just, this one, I think, kind of, you know, gave me that extra push to play through whatever, and just, it was on that, it was a new form of addiction that gave to me something, whatever. I mean, not only that, when you're traversing, you know, trying to power up your stats and your different Pokemon, I mean, it's a matter of, like, sorry, I'm using this pun, but yes, to catch them all.
Yeah, that's,
you know,
right.
That. Yeah.
Well, okay, so let's put Pokemon above the other two for right now. Now, is there anything that we see lower than potentially a Chrono Trigger? I mean, there one that jumps out at my eye is Mario Galaxy 2. I'm not sure that that's a better game than Chrono Trigger.
I was just looking at that one. I almost think that Galaxy 2 will should be the 10th spot here.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah, I mean, what are your thoughts, Harrison?
I think so too, because I think right now, I mean, I think it's no question that Super Mario Bros. 3 is, you know, historically, I mean, when it comes to difficulty, both are hard, whatever, when you get further in these games, whatever, but I mean, that should, but Super Mario Galaxy 2, I mean, I thought was a very, I mean, again, where I know we're sorry we left Mario Galaxy or Mario 64 off, but this one I felt was everything that I wanted out of a Mario, like a 3D Mario title, and yeah, it really did so well for me on that. And it just, Mario Bros. 3 is, you know, it was, again, it's one of those games I feel like, you know, like up there with Metroid Prime as far as like a perfect game. Mm-hmm. That's what it was really up there for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, so I'm okay with putting Mario Galaxy 2 at our 10th spot, because looking at the rest of our list, I'm not sure there's anything lower than that.
No. Now, what about between Super Metroid and Metroid Prime? I mean, where do you, either of you, see those on the list? I mean,
Scott, that's like telling me right now, like, my children I like the best right now. I mean,
that's why I didn't call you out specifically,
Harrison. For me, I think both of them crack the top five, personally.
I do too. I'm
thinking so too. I don't know Pokemon though. I'm almost, the more I look at the list, I mean, I'm almost wanting that to be in the top five, but there's just not enough room.
Yeah, I don't think. I mean, I, for as much as we're talking on Pokemon Red and Blue, I don't think it cracks top five. I just don't. I mean, I'm just, the thing that keeps it away from there is the fact that you can, again, you can make the case for like the Zelda franchise and even to a little extent, right, Super Mario Brothers. It's just the fact that it's a, oh wow, each of these titles that after, you know, Red, Blue, and Yellow, it's been pretty samey. I mean, it's been a very formulaic kind of setup, and just, again, we're including this first one because of something that we haven't seen before.
Yeah, and but I'm okay with leaving the list how it is right now. Chrono Trigger 9, Final Fantasy 3, 8, Pokemon 7. I mean, do you guys see anything else that should be jammed in between those at all?
I definitely agree that Final Fantasy 3 is just barely above Chrono Trigger. I mean, even though Chrono Trigger introduced, you know, like, aside from a great art style, whatever, even it's like production art, but also in its, you know, gameplay, I mean, it was a good little gameplay mechanics. Even that made time travel actually, you know, like a little bit original, like, you know, there's originality in like time travel that came. I mean, it seemed like, oh wow, this actually works really well. It's like a time travel game where it's, you know, it's something we haven't seen before.
Right. Yeah, the only game that I'm looking at that may be any lower is Super Smash Bros. Melee. I mean, I think that it goes higher than Pokemon Red, and I'm Red and Blue, perhaps. But I'm not sure your guys' thoughts on Melee, like how much enjoyment y'all got out of that one.
I'm on there. I think it's up as high, whatever, for, you know, again, its replayability and, you know, for something that it took a bigger step from the first game. I mean, remember when we were first seeing, like, you know, first screens for, like, Super Smash Bros. Melee? At first thought, everybody was assuming, like, you know, this is just going to be another rehash, but once it was released, you know, once you saw the content into it, it would just blew you away as far as, like, how much you could do. And yeah, to this day right now, I mean, I still find Melee superior to Brawl. Both really good titles that I enjoy, whatever, but Melee is something I got the most enjoyment out of. And plus, if you were going to ask me which game I was going to put into a tournament, Melee, obviously.
Yeah, yeah, and you know, yeah, I think Melee is the game on this list that I've played the most hours of, for sure. But I'm not sure that it goes higher than Pokemon, but that may just be me.
I would agree. So you're thinking Melee at 7, Pokemon at 6 for now?
Yeah, I mean, what are your thoughts on this one, Harrison?
I have no disagreement with that at all.
Yeah, okay. So
I'm okay with that.
So let's do that. We're going to move Melee down to the 7 spot there. Okay, now anything that we see lower than Melee right now on the list? I'm not sure I can see anything. Oops, I did that wrong, didn't I? Let me try that again. Okay, anything lower than Melee on the list?
Boy. So right now, I think right now that's kind of stuff that we have not really put into order right now is like our top five, which we have left is like A Link to the Past, Super Metroid, Super Mario Bros. 3, Ocarina of Time, and Metroid Prime. And I feel like those are the titles right now I feel like are set for a top five. Not in that order yet, but those I feel like are our top five games.
I think too.
I think that sets us up perfectly for the top five. I mean, that leaves Pokemon Red Blue at six. I think that's perfectly fine right there. I think that leaves us top five.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, because I don't think that any of those games are lesser games than Pokemon, in my opinion. So I think now it's time to get into the juiciness of it. I mean, how do we go about this one? I mean, these are all such great games, but we got to be objective about them.
I think we should start by saying, you know, giving our case right now of what is our number one game of all time from each of us, mm-hmm. and then we just go from there. I mean, wow. I mean, you have these probably more storied games right here. It's just a matter of, like, what is... I mean, each has an interesting story behind... Each one has an interesting story behind them, but what is truly the best one out of this right now? This is really where we're getting into it. I mean,
yeah.
I'm going to start off saying right now that my personal out of these five that should be number one is Metroid Prime. Now, my reasoning behind this, whatever, and... is I feel like Ocarina of Time has appeared way too many times as far as, like, you know, on top, you know, like, as number one games of all time
yeah.
list, even though I'm personally that feels like Link of the Past just beats it out for its, you know, just for its gameplay and its content. And I not to bore anybody else again, whatever, I mean, this one, again, like I said many times, is close enough to a perfect game. It really is, as far as how well it's seamlessly, you know, weaved into its gameplay and how it actually introduces the player into this world. And, of course, it ups the ante as far as, like, you know, being alone on a planet and you're the only kind of force, whatever, to win this, you know, you're basically the only hope as far as winning this one. I mean, it's just anybody else who's played video games, they're like, okay, what's interesting about that? It's like, that's the thing. It's a sense of loneliness that actually gets in your
right.
But what about you guys? What do you think should be number one?
To me, the best games on the list, I'm undecided on the top from two games, and those are Link to the Past and Super Metroid. And one of the reasons I would say that Super Metroid is more superior to Prime is only because in the Prime games, for the last 2 to 3 hours, you were busy chasing Chozo artifacts, and that kind of lost me there. And whereas Super Metroid, it was just bang, bang, action, action, action all the way throughout. So I mean, that may just be me. What do you think, Scott?
You know, I'm going over this list, this top five in my head here, and trying to, I've actually on a piece of paper here next to me, I'm keep crossing them out and like yes. making my own list over and over again. And the one thing that's pretty consistently not changing is actually Link to the Past. I think that from them, you know, I'm not even sure why overall. You know, it's the one that I haven't changed on this list here. It's definitely better than Mario 3. I would even put it ahead of Ocarina of Time.
I would too.
But you know, with the Metroids, I've actually got Super Metroid currently on my list as number two on my list, and Metroid Prime in the fifth place, and basically the same reason that you just said there, Eugene. I mean, with the Super Metroid, I mean, it's just there's just more action overall. I mean, it's just you can go through and just, you know, really really have that action rather than, you know, chasing some of those goals throughout the game. But right now, I think it's just Link to the Past for me.
And you know, I think that right now for me, that one game that we haven't really talked about, because I think that critically it's best game of all time, but Ocarina of Time, I think we may put that at the five spot, because I don't think that I want that at my number one games list on our list. I mean, what are your guys' thoughts of that?
It would definitely be a surprising spot for whatever, and it definitely would go for definitely agreement for me not putting it in the number one spot. It just, I feel like it gets a little too much more praise than it deserves. I mean, as far as being number one, and this is coming from a guy who prefers more Majora's Mask, and I sacrificed that for the 17 spot for all you guys. So that shows how much it's I care about Majora's Mask, whatever, to make sure that Ocarina of Time is not number one on the list.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think it should be number one either. I mean, if you're looking at, I mean, just the one thing I can see there where a lot of people would see Ocarina of Time being number one is when it came out. The lines of people outside of GameStops or EB Games, Electronics Boutique, whatever they were called at the time, you know, it was just I mean, it was
Badages,
huge.
That's right.
I mean, and not just there, anybody, anywhere that sold the game. I mean, it was just a huge, huge number of people outside waiting to get that game. I can't remember any of these other games having the same amount of people waiting outside, but that doesn't mean it was, you know, worth that type of, you know, that type of crowd. I mean, nobody had played the game yet, so it was just what they expected from it. And I think that sways a lot of people when yeah. that's added to a top of the list. I could see it being there on the number five spot.
Yeah, because for me, Metroid Prime, Super Metroid, and Link to the Past all beat out Ocarina of Time for me.
I totally agree.
Okay, so does Super Mario 3 beat out Ocarina of Time for you? I mean, for me, it does. For me, it does.
I do, too. I think so, too. I mean, I'm okay moving this to 5, but now where do we think about Super Mario Bros. 3? I mean, like, that was very influential for its time, but where do you guys put that? I mean, I think this is where it's getting dicey. I mean, I don't know if I put that lower than Ocarina of Time. I think that we kind of leave that there at the 5 spot. But what do you guys think?
Yeah. For me, I see Super Mario Brothers 3 being better than Metroid Prime.
I mean, for me,
playability, I would go back and play Super Mario Brothers 3 many more times than I would Prime, and I have. I know Harrison, you really like Prime. I mean, what are your thoughts?
Prime for me, it's just, I know Eugenia mentioned that the whole Chozo artifact, you know, scavenger hunt at the end kind of slowed down the pace of the game. But I think in itself, it rewarded yourself, whatever, after you got that to, you know, 2 really good boss battles afterwards. Mm-hmm. And that was able to, you know, get yourself back into the form of, like, you know, the pace and stuff. And 3, though, Super Mario Bros. 3, this is the thing why Metroid, the series, is so great for me right now. It's like these two titles in particular, Super Metroid and Metroid Prime, are a couple of these games that battle each other out for, like, you know, I'm sure when anybody else is doing, like, top 5 lists, like, you know, when they get to top 5 portion of their best Nintendo list, these are the two things I think, as far as hard, it just, I mean, when you want to look as far as Super Metroid, what it influences that, you know, you can, Castlevania has, like, the today, whatever it has to thank, you know, Metroid for what it is. Mm-hmm. Speedrunners have Super Metroid to thank for, you know, starting that movement, whatever, for, like, of a gaming subculture. But even with Prime, it's just, this is right now where it gets, again, we're getting dicey at this.
Yeah.
It's just...
Yeah,
I'd be willing to do this if to keep Metroid Prime in a top 3, we would put Super Mario Bros. 3 at 4. But again, I'm probably, you know, outnumbered. You know, I'd be outvoted probably by this because
I think that definitely Super Metroid trumps Metroid Prime for me. For the reasons that you mentioned, I mean, the Metroidvania is a genre because of Super Metroid. I mean, that and Symphony of the Night. But yes, I mean, I think that just did so much. Super Metroid was so influential that I think it trumps Prime. Now, but what do we think about Mario Brothers 3? I mean, that it was one of the best. It's still one of the best platformers that's ever been created.
I'm okay with it being at the 3 spot. I mean, I'd love to see it at number 2, but it's going to be hard for me to justify it being at number 2.
Yeah, so what do you think is a lower game than Super Mario Bros. 3?
Even though every fiber of my being wants to regurgitate when I say this right now, but yeah, I think right now I'm losing this battle at this moment, so Prime, I'm sorry I fought for you right now, but the 4 spot seems... only as high as I'm going to get you.
Destined. So do we leave Prime at 4, Super Mario Brothers 3 at number 3?
I think so, too, because I think right now this is where we're going to have the most heated discussion between two titles of what deserves to be number 1.
Yeah, with Super Metroid and Link to the Past?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, so thoughts. Which one of your... Which game... did you guys like the best out of these two? Because, I mean, for me, it's obviously Link to the Past. I mean, for me, because I'm a huge Zelda fan. Although Super Metroid was one hell of a game, too. I mean, they're two of the best.
I'm in agreement there with you. I mean, for me, the Zelda series was more of my favorite series than the Metroid series was. So, I mean, just going on that alone, I think that, for me, Zelda has more playability going back through the series and not only playing in the order from first release, but also trying to go back through and play them in the actual now known current.
Oh, the timeline. That's right. Timeline that Zelda Historia.
So, I haven't started that back up yet, but I'm hoping to do that soon, as soon as I finish up the Final Fantasy series again. So, for me, it's just got to be Zelda over Metroid.
Okay, what are your thoughts there, Harrison? Do you think that Super Metroid trumps Link to the Past?
Again, Metroid, I mean, this is going from bias, whatever. Metroid still, to this day, will remain my favorite video game franchise to mm-hmm. this date until, you know, something else comes along, probably, whatever. I'm not sure, God forbid, whatever it's going to be, probably, that has the, you know, ability to actually trump probably that. I mean, with Zelda right now, it's, unlike for the past, runner, I mean, to this, when you get down to it, it really is as far as one of the more jam-packed Zelda titles. Mm-hmm. And one that was actually able to give a bit of a further backstory into the whole lore of this franchise. Whereas with Super Metroid, though, this is where, and I still don't know why, I believe Super Metroid should be number one. I mean, aside from the fact of what it influenced later on with the Castlevania series, and even to this day, how it's still probably, I mean, Super Metroid is still, I mean, probably, you know, one of the best pick a game, like, action titles to pick up, and it's probably the best action title that I can think of. It really, I mean, like, you know, even like 2D or 3D. I mean, the things are so much great with it. Music, atmosphere, gameplay, items, upgrades, bosses, you know, just things about this that made me go back to it. I mean, it's one of there's things for me that, you know, even when I'm not playing, I go back and read about. And Metroid's one of those things I look more into. Like, for instance, when I'm on YouTube, I will play Super Metroid music, whatever, when I'm either writing or when I'm, you know, just want to set the mood, whatever, just for myself. I'm sitting by myself or when friends over. And, yeah, they get weirded out by that, whatever. It's like, what's this music playing right now? It's Lower Norfair music. Don't worry. I mean, it's good stuff. It's a good tune. Let's just keep drinking. But yeah. Reason for Metroid being that one spot is it's one game that I will go back and play over and over again, even in a finished day. I mean, whereas with Link to the Past, it takes a little bit more time to beat. I mean, that shouldn't be the reason that why I should put that above Link to the Past. I'm going by the fact that Super Metroid is my favorite series, and this is the one game that really made me, you know, see video games aside from just being, you know, sprites. It may be something you get emotionally invested into. And even its ending, for instance, in Metroid, whatever, you know, that was one of those first few moments that I got emotionally invested. And mm-hmm. it was a very good moment as far as when you see an infant Metroid, whatever, like, sacrifices itself for Samus. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, for Link to the Past, I can understand why this is everybody's favorite Zelda. I mean, it's the one game, whatever, that it has the most to it. And in the end, Metroid trumps Link to the Past because I just feel like it's package. Its main package is
for a lot of the reasons you think that Super Metroid trumps Link to the Past. I mean, I think we're gonna go back and forth on this one. I think that the same can be said about Link to the Past for me, because I mean, it gave me the moments of being able to just explore without having to worry about any dungeons to beat. I mean, I would get just lost in the game without even conquering any dungeons for weeks when I was a kid, you know, just kind of exploring and trying to find heart pieces and doing this and doing that. I mean, there are items in the game that are not even necessary to progress. I mean, the magic cape and I think it was the Cane of Samaria, the red one or whatever one it was. I mean, you don't even need those items to progress, or maybe it was the blue one. I'm not sure. But anyways, I mean, there is just, there's just so much to do in Link to the Past, and yeah, it does take a lot longer. But I mean, I think that's to its credit. I mean, you can just do so much and not even have to worry about collecting the crystals or collecting the orbs or whatever. You can have a good time just exploring the overworld. So, I mean, Scott, what do you think? I mean,
I'm in agreement with you here. I mean, with me, when I find a game that I really like, you know, there's a lot to do in the game. So it's not just, you know, go through it, do what you have to do, and it's done. I like the side quests. I like the exploration, and just all the little extras that they throw in there. And Zelda Link to the Past gives that to you. I mean, there's just so much you can do in the game to keep your attention. And that's the great thing about it, too, is that the additional playability for me is that even if I did go through the first time and just go from beginning to end just to beat the game, going back through a second time to find all of those little extras that weren't necessary to finish the game, and just to explore the world as a whole is just perfect for me. So for me, I mean, it's just The Legend of Zelda Link to the Past has the more playability for me. And there's also more, you know, for me to make the game harder too. I mean, for example, you know, trying to get the bare minimum to go through, or trying to collect the least amount of hearts possible to get through the game, and so on from that. So there's an extra built-in challenge, you know, as I replay and replay and replay the game.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is real tough, because on the same token, Super Metroid, I remember that I believe that came out after Zelda. So
yeah, Link to the Past came out in 92, and Super Metroid came out like 94.
Yeah, so that was at a time when I was looking for a new game to play, because I mean, at that point I had completely conquered Zelda, and then it was just able to captivate me in such a way that a lot of games after it and before it have just really weren't able to do. I mean, like you said, just that sense of isolation. But I know Harrison, what your thoughts are, Harrison, here, but gosh, this is a tough one.
Does anybody have a coin?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I still don't know if I can put Super Metroid at the number one spot above Link to the Past. I just don't know if I can.
Let's go into this one, okay? Let's go through each of us right now. Just name one fault that we know from both games, and we see if that one fault limits itself probably from taking that one spot. For me, Link to the Past, one fault it had, I really didn't. I mean, at its time, the Dark World added an extra depth to the game. It just, I felt like it was too copy and paste or whatever. I mean, granted, Metroid Prime 2 tried this, and it didn't necessarily fail miserably. It just didn't really capture it, whatever, to the point where it just, you saw the flaws of having a Dark World. I mean, it just seemed too much the same, and one that was very hard to traverse. In Link to the Past, it wasn't. I mean, not that that was a bad thing. And I just felt like that was one thing that didn't really catch my eye to it. Now, one thing that really bothered me about Super Metroid was it's a game that I think it's one of those games where this is really hard. I'm trying to find something bad about Super Metroid, a game that I say it's up there with Metroid Prime as far as a perfect game. Even though with Metroid Prime, the one thing I think that brought it down was the Chozo artifact hunt, and with Super Metroid. Ah, jeez. I mean, it's. I think that's the bad thing right now. The negative. I can't think of anything bad about that. I mean.
Well, I mean, for me, I wouldn't say. This is my personal opinion. I don't think that the Dark World was a detractor for Link to the Past. I think that was actually one of its better features, because you were just going into the Dark World and seeing how the world had changed. Yeah, a lot of it was copy and paste, but there were these little differences that if you weren't looking for them, that you wouldn't notice. And a lot of them were important to the game. But I mean, this is like asking to find a fault on my children if I had any. I don't know if I can think of any faults on either of these games that really jump out at me.
That's where it's hard. I mean, with finding the fault in the game that you want to be number one is obviously not going to be the easiest. But it's not as easy to find a fault in the number two game either. I mean, you know, the only fault I can really find in Super Metroid as the game is just that the wall jump was pretty bad in my opinion. But is that something to take away from like a number one spot? I mean,
there were
probably.
There were some game breaking moments in that. Whenever I mean that speedrunners use like. The bit of the wall jump that you can use to traverse areas that you weren't supposed to get into. I remember there was a portion where you can use the wall jump to, you know, get to Kraid's lair without the high jump boots, and that is new, but again, that's also a positive to that, whatever. I mean,
right.
This helped introduce speed, well, I wouldn't say introduce speedrunning, it helped popularize speedrunning.
Yeah, the only frustrating part for Super Metroid for me was the having to wall jump out of that little cavern following the little monkey-like creatures. I mean, it showed you kind of where you would have to jump to make it up that thing. But I remember for some reason not being able to do it, and it would take me at times like 20 minutes, 30 minutes to just get through that one area. I'd have to put the controller down out of frustration. And maybe,
yeah. I'll say, as a kid, I had a hard time trying to perform that move. Hell, I mean, I had a hard time trying to... There was another move that... It's not really necessary, but it's a little nice little thing you could do to refill all your items, and is
you would push, like, down, and then all the face buttons, and then she would, like, blow up a... It would cost, like, a super bomb or something, right? Wouldn't it? Yeah, I forgot about that. My goodness, yeah.
Because the only thing I knew about that is, like, when you have the game, you don't press start at all at the beginning when they just show kind of the demo... It goes into demo mode, and it showed that, and... I was thinking, I was a little kid, I was like, how can I do that?
Right. Yeah, I don't think that there was any, like, instructions on how to do that. You would just either have to hear it from a friend or, I mean, there wasn't really internet at the time. I mean, actually, it probably was around, but maybe not to the extent of what it is today.
Right.
Yeah, the faults in the games, I don't think that that's going to get us anywhere on this one. What did you think had the better final boss fight?
When you look back at the Mother Brain battle, whatever, it was kind of at first, whatever. I mean, I thought it was hard, but looking back at it, whatever. I mean, if you have a decent amount of missiles, you can get through it pretty easily. But it's just the scope and the emotion, like, you know, the emotional, like, attachment that you get to that game, whatever, even leading up to whatever. When you find the Infinite Metroid, which is larger and then almost kills you and then realizes you are, almost leaving you for dead. And same thing with Mother Brain, whatever, leaving you for dead. And you're thinking, like, as a kid, when I was playing that, I was like, okay,
yeah,
this is it, whatever. And then it comes out of nowhere and saves you. I thought that it was great as far as a moment. But I think probably as far as, I'd agree with you on Link to Pass. I mean, Link to Pass doesn't have that emotional attachment, whatever, as far as when you're playing Ganon. But it's definitely a more difficult, like, you know, boss battle to actually, you know, win at.
Yeah, and with both Metroid and Zelda, I mean, it's not usually actually beating the boss that's hard. It's figuring out how to beat the boss.
Right.
And the Ganon fight at the very end, I think, was a better boss battle. Although, like you said, emotionally, I think that Metroid trumps that there just because of the unexpected reappearance of the baby Metroid.
And I think right now, obviously, I've been battling this out right now, and I think I may have to concede right now on the fault of the fact that just, it's, I'm conceding right now that Super Metroid can be at that 2 spot. So, because I feel like we're going to be going for another 10-20 minutes. And then next thing you know it, I think maybe Scott's going to write a little a little piece about this, whatever, like in one of his novels. like, why Link to the Past is better than Super Metroid? A 500-page memoir of why this thing happens. Like, why is there a section on button combinations? We went that far.
That's right.
Harrison is the next enemy in my. No, I mean, I think though. I mean, they're very close to one another overall. I mean, it really is hard to choose. It is a tough one, but I mean, I think that Zelda will definitely does outbeat it barely. But I'm sure whichever one we choose to be number one, the readers. They'll probably have something to say about it, you know, either way. So it'll be interesting to see what their take is on it.
Okay, so the list is done. Is that what we're saying?
I think it's done.
Okay.
I would say after about a total of around 5 hours of grueling discussion, we finally have our top 25 top Nintendo games list.
Okay, well, I think we've done a pretty good job here, too. Like you were saying, Harrison, when we dropped a call, I mean, just debating and explaining why and why not these games should go higher or lower. So I think what we have is a pretty solid list for our top 25. I mean, let's make sure that that's what this is. I mean, it's not the overall, oh my God, this is the 100 end all be all top 25, but this is our list. This is our Nintendo top 25. So let's go through it right now. Again, starting from one, we have Link to the Past, Super Metroid, Super Mario Brothers 3, Metroid Prime, Ocarina of Time cracks the top 5, Pokemon Red Blue, Smash Brothers Melee, Final Fantasy 3, Chrono Trigger, Super Mario Galaxy hits that top 10, hits that number 10 spot. We have GoldenEye 007, Secret of Mana, Resident Evil 4, Eternal Darkness, Earthbound at number 15, Zelda Wind Waker, Majora's Mask. We have Final Fantasy NES, Illusion of Gaia, Street Fighter 2 at 25, Donkey Kong Country Returns, GoldenEye, Advance Wars, Clash at Demon Head.
You mean Golden Sun at 22.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Golden Sun at 22, Advance Wars, Clash at Demon Head, and Mega Man X. I said GoldenEye, didn't I?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was confused for a second. Are we going backwards now?
All right. Well, what do you guys think? I mean, I think we did a good job here.
I'm interested to see what, you know, I think to look at this, whatever, is another good talking point for the next podcast is just for our listeners out there. It's like, you know, what were the positives and negatives you came out of this list? And, you know, even the overall selection process that we did. I mean, do you believe that, you know, Link to the Past is superior to Super Metroid, or is it vice versa? Or was there a title that should have probably, you know, been higher than both of those? I mean, we'd love to hear, you know, everybody, like, all of your discussion points on this, whatever. I mean, even more from people who thought, you know, who are still upset we didn't include Mario 64. So,
yeah, that's right. I mean, and yeah, you can hit us
in the
comment section below the article here, or even write us a lengthier email at tips@nintendo.com, and you'll definitely be on the show if you write to us. So we'd love to hear your feedback, like Harrison said. Well, good things, guys. So I think that concludes our podcast for the week. I mean, any final things before we let out? You guys want to hit us up with your Twitter, Facebooks, whatever?
Sure. Twitter is at Esselpratt. Facebook, facebook.com/EsselprattWriting.
For me, it's at facebook.com at H. Milfeld. And Twitter, same thing. It's H. Milfeld. And basically just reach us on anything on there. We're usually just discussing and, you know, taking this time, whatever. I mean, you know, we want to hear more in the current days what Nintendo's, like, in Nintendo news and what we think about, you know, I mean, there's quite a bit of, like, Wii U news we want to talk about, you know, like the state of the console and where it's going to be going right now, probably as, you know, its competitors coming in. But, I mean, I think this was a good breather to kind of, you know, wax nostalgic a little bit and just, you know, look back and, you know, the games that made us to be, you know, what we are today.
Right. Yeah. Yep. I completely agree. So I hope y'all liked what we had done in these last two episodes. Maybe we'll get a little creative and do something similar in the future. But next week, I think we have a lot of Nintendo stuff to talk about. So I can't wait to get back on our regular Nintendo radio scheduling. And I hope y'all can't wait to download the episodes and listen up. So with that, that was the Nintendo Top 25 Nintendo Games of All Time. So I hope y'all listen in and write to us. Tell us what you think. So, thanks, guys. Thanks, Scott. Thanks, Harrison. We'll see y'all next time.
Yeah, catch you next time.
See ya.